Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer. If you are visiting with us today, in the bulletin there are inserts here. Please take the time to fill out the information there. If you have any prayer requests or anything like that, you can put in an offering plate or give them to Pastor Tim or one of the deacons, and we'll make sure they get added or the information is provided to the right people. When does school start?
August 3rd.
August the 3rd. I knew somebody would know. Thank you. School starts August the 3rd. Keep teachers and students and everyone involved in your prayers. August, we will begin a study of the book of Titus. Please read through the book of Titus once a week. It's three chapters long, so Brother Tim is starting that next week, right? Next week. Fifth Sunday lunch, immediately after the morning service, please stay and spend time with us and fellowship with us for lunch. There's plenty of food, so we hope that you will stay with that. August the 2nd, here's the train. Train's on time. That's what happens when we start right at 11, y'all. So you always wonder why we may be 11:03 or 11:04. Don't blame it on Sissy anymore. It's the train. But prayer walk, August the 2nd, that's Wednesday night. We will meet at the school at 6:30 p.m. And do our prayer and our prayer walk there. If you can, please be there. Then we'll come back to the church and have a fellowship meal at 7. And I understand it may be tacos, so I think everyone loves tacos. So please keep that in mind. Any other announcements?
Men's ministry, the 17th of August, I believe it is.
Men's ministry meeting, August the 17th.
And we're going to have plenty to eat.
We'll get more information out about that, but please go ahead and mark your calendars for that. August the 17th here at the church. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Harold died somewhere. No birthdays? Please remember, Michaela has her surgery August the 10th, so remember her in your prayers. And also, Miss Carolyn has an upcoming doctor's appointment, and I'll continue to remember her in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and worship you this morning, Lord. We thank you for our Sunday school hour, Lord, as we really read and studied and discussed your word this morning, Lord, what God says, Lord. And I just want to pray now for this upcoming service, Lord. I want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he stands before us this morning, Lord, and proclaims your word, Lord. And Lord, let us not only be hearers that we even discussed in Sunday school this morning. Let us be actively involved and not only listen, but do what your word says, Lord. And I just want to pray, Lord, that we just honor and we glorify our Lord Jesus Christ today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I'm already missing Miss Sissy this morning, and we had some hymns we wanted to do this morning, but if you'll notice, there's not a hymn number listed in the bulletin. So everything's going to be up on the screen. So we're going to have to pay close attention, because if we start slowing down or speeding up, it's not going to wait on us. But we're going to worship the Lord in song this morning. And let's all stand and we're going to start. We have come to His house to worship Him.
We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Gathered in His name to worship Him. worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Let's forgive ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forgive ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forgive ourselves and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him.
That were commanded of us to do by Jesus. The first of those is baptism. Well, 2 weeks ago on July 16th, we both practiced baptism and I preached on baptism. Today is the second ordinance that Jesus gave to us, and we're going to be partaking of that, and that is of the Lord's Supper. And so, as I generally like to do, I like to preach and teach on doctrine. And I know you say, well, you know, doctrine is boring. Well, can I tell you, if you don't know what the Bible says, how can you defend what you believe? And so, to me, the best way to get on doctrine is by reading the Scripture, finding out what it says, and then aligning ourselves, our thoughts, our beliefs on what the Word of God says. So with that being said, I want to just start off saying, Paul has written this letter to the church at Corinth. He has already taught them about these ordinances, about the Lord's Supper and what they should do, but somewhere along the line, the people got off track. Sometimes that happens, amen? And when that happens, we need to be brought back in line with what the Word of God says. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, if you will read with me, it says, "Now given these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have read these instructions to the church, Lord, I pray that we would take heed of what is said here today. Lord, that we would remember all that you have done for us. Lord, help us to remember who we were before we received you into our lives. Lord, help us to realize who we are now in Christ, but Lord, help us also to look forward to that day of your return. And Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, or as we would call it, communion in some instances, Lord, we're here to commemorate what you have done. We're here to remember the price that you paid, that you gave your body and your blood for us. So Lord, I pray today that as we speak about these things and as we talk about eating and drinking of the wine and the bread in an unworthy manner, Lord, that you would just challenge our hearts today. Lord, convict where we need to be convicted. Correct us where we need to be corrected. And Lord, help us to celebrate what you have done in our lives today. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we think about the Lord's Supper, we see that even on the front of the communion table, which is covered up now, it says, do this in what? In remembrance of me, not of the preacher, not of the music leader, not of whoever is up here, but of Jesus himself. And so as we think about the Lord's Supper table, we think about all that he has done for us. But as I mentioned earlier, Paul had already instructed the church how to observe the Lord's Supper, but somewhere along the way, Paul says that there were divisions and factions that came up in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul had already talked about divisions in the church because some were following him, some were following Peter or Cephas, and some were following Apollos. And he said that shouldn't be, that they should follow Christ. That was the goal, was for all of us as a church to follow Christ and Christ alone. But here in chapter 11, there it becomes a problem, because you know how it is. Anytime you get people together, people want to separate into groups, right? Some want their way, others want their way. Y'all don't know anybody like that, do you? But it happens, right? And Paul is correcting the church because there were some who were wanting to maybe they were high in society, maybe they thought they were better than everyone else, because if you go to looking at divisions, it's where a group, usually a small group, separates from another group, but factions is also in there. And if you look at the definition of faction, it is a small dissenting group. Now, I've been at a church one time where I had somebody, and I won't even say his name, but he simply told me, he said, "Preacher, we don't need people like this in this church." And you know what I told him? I said, "Well, you don't need me either, because I'm no different than they are." You see, these people, apparently they were some who had all things. They were well off. They were high society, so to speak. But then you have other people who had nothing. Maybe they were widows. Maybe they were orphans. Maybe they were slaves, as Paul references here. And they come to the church, and if there's any place in society that people should be together, where should it be? In church. It shouldn't be segregated. Amen? Not by color, not by social standing, not by anything, because at the cross of Jesus Christ, it is level ground. Amen? Because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And Paul is addressing this problem, and he says, listen, the purpose for the church is not to separate people. Could you imagine new believers coming into the church and being left out? How would you feel? Would you want to come back to Wigan Baptist Church if you came here and everybody shunned you? If we were having the Lord's Supper today and dinner on the grounds afterwards, that's what we used to call it, right? Dinner on the grounds. I don't know why they changed the name. Had dinner on the grounds, but y'all deacons, forgive me. Think about this way. We're having dinner on the grounds after church service today. Y'all all invited to come, okay? There's plenty back there. But think about this. What if you were a visitor to Wigan Baptist Church, and while we were having church, the three deacons slipped back there and ate all the food, and so when we got done, we went back there and there was nothing left. Come on, y'all. That would be funny. That wouldn't be funny. Because how would you feel? You would feel left out, but that is apparently what was going on here. Those that had everything were the ones who were slipping back there, who were eating everything before everybody else could come. Well, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, I believe Paul heard it. Other people don't, but that's okay. We don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. This is the purpose of the church. He says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Here is the reality. The church is to be here to build one another up, not to tear one another down, not to have division and factions among us. We are to be together in all things. But Paul says, listen, there are divisions among you. There are factions. Do you know that in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, I'm not going to read them, but you can read them. He tells us to note those who are causing division in the church and do what? He says to avoid them. Avoid people, and hear my heart on this, because one person that has a complaint, the Bible tells us, that if I have a complaint against you, what am I supposed to do? I am to go to you one on, not on Twitter, not on Facebook, not on Snapchat, not on the church website, amen? I am to go to you and resolve it, okay? And if that don't work, we bring the deacons in. If that don't work, bring it before the church. But we are supposed to take care of things one on one. Anytime we get one person who is dissatisfied and they start talking to somebody else, remember last week we talked about gossip? Gossip can spread like wildfire. one person discontent, one person starts listening, pretty soon you got two people together. When you get three together, the Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen? It sets on fire a lot of things within the church and can cause destruction. When you find somebody here, somebody who's being divisive, stay away from them. Amen? It's better for you, it's better for them, it's better for the church. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19 tells us that those who sow discord among the brethren are an abomination to God. Wow. You see, my words don't mean anything. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But here in 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth, they're having problems. People are being singled out. People are being left out. The church is supposed to be a place of unity. Matter of fact, as I've already stated, but in John chapter 17, Jesus even prayed for them to be one. In other words, for the church to be one in all things. But there were some who did what was right. And Paul says of them, they were the ones who were approved, while those who were doing what was wrong were not approved by God. That's not what God intended for them to go and do these things on their own. Matter of fact, in verse 22, Paul, I'm going to paraphrase verse 22. Paul simply says this, if you want to make an issue out of things and if you're hungry, just stay home. Amen? If you're going to do that, just stay home and eat. And you say, well, how do you figure that? Well, look back at verse 33 with me. He tells us specifically, he says, listen. Let me find it here again. verse 34, excuse me. He says, but if anyone is hungry, let him eat where? At home. So Paul's simply saying this, listen, if this is how you're going to act, if you're going to mistreat other believers, if you're going to make an issue of it, just stay home. Just stay home. Don't damage the body of Christ because of your actions. So what does Paul do? He gives the instructions once again here in verse 23. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. In other words, Paul has already told them and taught them about this ordinance. And he goes on to tell them in these verses, verses 24 and 25, he tells about the process, what Jesus did, what he was accomplishing here. But then he goes on to say about the frequency of the Lord's Supper. You know, there are some churches that take of the Lord's Supper every week. Some take of it once every 3 months. Some do it every fifth Sunday. It doesn't matter how often you do it. That was not the issue. Because Jesus just simply said this, as often as you do it in what? Remember to me. That was the purpose of it. So that you've got the process, you've got the frequency. It doesn't matter if it's once a day, once a week, once a month, once a year. How often you do it is not the matter. What the matter is that we do it, and when we do it in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. So, what does it mean? Well, the bread represents the body of Christ. Body of Christ that was broken for you and me. The Bible says by his stripes we were what? We are healed. It was by his suffering, him giving of his body to take the punishment, because literally the punishment you and I deserve, Jesus took for us. There's a song, and one day maybe I've been really convicted about this, so y'all can hold me to this later on, about singing the song, I Should Have Been Crucified. But I don't know that I could get through it. Because it is for me, he died. I should have been one who was crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, he did what? He took my place. That's substitution. He bore in his body the marks I deserve. He took the beatings, the beard being snatched out of his face, the crown of thorns on his head. He took all of that, and he said, you know what? You can go free. The juice represents the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In other words, there is no forgiveness. You and I cannot be forgiven of our sins unless perfect blood was spilt for you and I, because somebody had to pay the price. Amen? Because if the wages of sin is death, then God could not have just simply wiped out our sins. Because somebody had to die. And when nobody was found perfect to take my place, what did God do? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, it was Jesus that God sent to be my sacrifice. He shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness. There could have never been peace brought between me and God. Jesus' blood was the atonement for my sin. His blood is what made me at one with God. It is his blood that was the propitiation, and I know that's a big word, but somebody had to make the payment. Somebody had to satisfy the wrath of God. And when you and I were not counted worthy, Jesus, God's Son, took that punishment on the cross. He paid the debt that set us free. He even bore the wrath of God that you and I deserve. So, well, it was just a man on the cross. No, it wasn't. He bore our guilt. He bore our shame. He bore our punishment. But if he had never lived a perfect, sinless life, he could not have been the sacrifice that we needed. But thank God he was. But I want you to see something else today. People often get aggravated with me, and I don't know why, because it's scriptural. The Bible tells us, and I know in at least two places where it says to examine yourself. Examine yourself. Paul says at one time, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. I think that's a good question for all of us from time to time. I'm not asking you to doubt your salvation, but I'm asking you to say, are you living out your faith? Examine yourself. Is your life matching up with who you claim to be? But here Paul tells us to examine ourselves to see if we're going to eat and drink of the body and blood of Christ, the bread of the juice representative of those. Are we going to take of it in a manner that is unworthy? So how, Brother Tim, can I take of it in a way that is unworthy? Well, first let me say this. When we do take of the Lord's Supper in a little bit, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't take of the Lord's Supper. Okay? Moms and dads, I'm just going to tell you this. This is an opportunity for us to teach our children. Okay? It is an opportunity to teach our children what the blood and the body represent, and what the bread and the wine or the juice represents. It represents that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And so we cannot take of it in an unworthy manner. But can I tell you, there's another thing that we need to examine our lives with too. If you have unconfessed sin in your life today, if you have somebody in your life that you have not forgiven, you need to take care of it. You need to confess your sins to the Lord. You need to get right with that person. You need to get right with God. If you know you're not walking with Him, that means you're walking away from Him. Amen? You need to confess your sins to Him and ask for His forgiveness. And this is not an option, okay? It's not an option. Let's read here in verse 28, I think it is. Yeah, 28. Sorry about y'all. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup. See, Paul is saying, examine yourself first. Make sure everything's right in your life first. And then take of the Lord's Supper. He's not saying don't ever take it. He's saying do what you need to do. Get right with the Lord, right with others first, and then take up. Why is it important? Well, Paul gives us the reasons here. He tells us that there are problems that can arise if we do not take of the Lord's Supper in a way that is meaningful. He says here in verse 29, he says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then in verse 30, listen to what he says. He says, For this reason many are weak. That means to be without strength. To be without strength. Like after, how many of you have ever had the flu or had COVID over the last couple of years? Yeah, how you just for a couple of weeks you just have no energy, no strength to do anything. That is literally what he is meaning here by using the word weak. He's talking about sick. This is sicknesses that bring on health problems. But then he says, listen, many sleep. What does that mean? Many sleep. Means they die. From my personal understanding, this, and I know God has appointed a time for everybody, but when we eat and take of the Lord's body and the Lord's blood and juice, and we do it in an unworthy manner, I believe this is talking about a premature death. That's my personal opinion. You can argue with me if you want to, that's okay. But even Jesus, when he's talking about Lazarus in the grave and his disciples, when Jesus says, well, Lazarus is asleep, we're going to go wake him up. And his disciples are like, what? And Jesus plainly tells him, Lazarus is dead. You see, Paul is saying, listen, if we examine ourselves and we judge ourselves and we confess our sins and we straighten our lives up, it doesn't mean we were perfect, because if we hold that, we'll never make it. Amen. But as we come before the Lord today and we understand what the Lord wants us to do, I believe that while I've been preaching today, that the Lord has spoken to you about something you need to get right with Him about. Maybe he's put on your heart that you need to get right with somebody else about. If that is the case, can I encourage you to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do? Do what he's instructing you. Do not take of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. As I think about this, I think the first question we need to ask ourselves today is, am I a child of God? Have I trusted? trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Have I invited him into my heart and asked him to forgive me of my sins? If so, praise the Lord. But if not, maybe today you need to make that decision to follow Christ. Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Get right with the Lord. Are you right with God, and are you right with others? I'm going to ask you, if you will, to stand with me. This morning we're going to give a time invitation before we take of the Lord's Supper. This is just simply a time for you, if you need the Lord in your life, I invite you to come. Just say, Brother Tim, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior today. But I also realize that probably most of us here, maybe we are saved. But maybe there's something we need to deal with God about. Maybe there's something we need to deal with others about. The altar is open. Amen. We need to move the chairs, we'll move the chairs. But we need to do business with God today. Examine yourselves and make sure we don't take of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. As we give our hymn invitation, you do as the Lord would.